Welcome to New Life Church teaching series, Thy Kingdom Come, with the lesson titled, I Am. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
Has no one returned? Now, the scripture that I have been assigned today is in Luke. It's a story about the 10 lepers. I'm sure most of us are very familiar with that scripture. And I was really trying to find the, it's like I said this morning earlier, you have sight and then you have insight. You have sight as reading the scripture, insight is the prophetic. It's when you look in it and not just at it. You're trying to look in it and see. So that's one thing about the Holy Scriptures. They're very dimensional that you can, it's just amazing how they work. But it's Luke 17 about the 10 lepers, and we'll read it, and it goes like this. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. We know that they were standing at a distance because leprosy was very contagious. And then with leprosy, the people with leprosy usually were in a separate colony. They could not even get close to the people who did not have leprosy. But they knew to keep their distance. And because of keeping their distance, can you imagine the stigma that they would come under? Can you just imagine how they had been ostracized? They had been set aside by society and with this tremendous illness, this disease that would even, it even created a tremendous odor, a smell about it that was just horrific. And so that was another reason they would keep their distance. So just try to imagine, if you will, the condition of these lepers. Also, I would think that their prevailing thoughts would be thoughts of, this is how I'll die. It will just keep getting worse and worse. I'll keep getting more ostracized. I'll keep getting more rejection. It'll just get... So they're prevailing, their main thinking would be one of just total despair. So for them, when they called out with a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us, you can just imagine that it probably just took everything within them to be able to shout out the help unto the Master. It goes on to say this, when he was with them, he said, go, show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were what? Cleansed. They were cleansed. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, they didn't go to the priest and get cleansed. It is, they went on their way. And the reason they had to go to the priest, because the priests were the only ones that could declare someone clean or someone healed. Or it was their declaration that made it so in the community. So they had he told them, he said, now I want you to go show yourself to the priest. And one of the questions is, when was their transaction of healing? Was it when Jesus said it? Was it in their going? We really don't know. The only thing we know is they were healed.
That's right.
Gives us one of the clues in the healings of Jesus. And y'all heard me perhaps say this before, that if you don't know how you got to where you are, God got you there.
Right.
If you can give an explanation of your total healing, well, I did this and I did this and I fasted 3 times and I read the Bible 4. I did all. If you can give all of this and this is how you're healed, you probably weren't healed. One sure way to know that God's in the scene is because you don't know where you got to where you got. So the only explanation is God got you there. You see, we don't have to be too smart, just very trusting. And it's not the formulas. It goes on, the scripture says this. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a what? Now, I got a feeling that's the same one that hollered out with a loud voice. Does anybody else get that feeling? Somebody hollered out with a loud voice. Then this other one came back with a loud voice. Got a feeling it's the same voice, the same one that had the loud voice. So I know that one out of ten had a great determination. Something in that one had a spark of life. Something down in that one had a passion that was motivating him to shout with a loud voice,
yes!
Jesus, will you cleanse us? Has anybody ever felt that cleansing? So here we see that, verse 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan or a foreigner. He did what? He ran back, fell at his feet, and he thanked him. Jesus asked, were not all ten cleansed? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise up, go. Your faith has made you what? Well. I want you to take a little note here. Being healed and being well are two different things. Does anybody see that? Look in it, not at it. Ten were healed, but one was well. Ten were healed and one was well. The leper didn't have anything to do with his healing, but he had everything to do with his wellness. You've heard the scripture say people get healed, but they don't keep it. Well, I used to have a little trouble with that till I started studying it. There again, I don't agree with myself. Got corrected. The difference in healing and wellness. In other words, it's important to not plagiarize against God. It's important that we or someone else doesn't take the credit for God's healing.
Yeah.
I've seen people say, well, I've got the gift of healing. Well, bless your little heart. I mean, come on, somebody. If the Spirit of God can come on a donkey, I wouldn't be too proud.
That's right.
We've got to be careful when we go to bragging.
That's good.
Here's what happens. It's a difference in healing and wellness. Everybody got it. Then he said unto him, rise up, go, your faith has made you well. Now the passion of Jesus had passion on the ten lepers. The passion of Jesus is what spoke healing to the ten lepers. But the faith of one leper is what kept him well. So as the wellness came unto the one leper, it was because he received the same passion that healed him into his own heart. Many people have been healed but didn't receive this passion that healed them. One thing to be healed is another thing to be well. Passion. You remember Jesus said, oh, somebody touched my garment because I felt passion leave from me. I felt love leave from me. passion, and in the previous teaching in the mornings, I've been teaching on passion, how passion will take you where momentum won't take you. Passion will take you places that nothing else can take you. Passion will cause you to do crazy things, make you pray for sick people. There's not anybody sick that I haven't ever prayed for that part of me and a little old lawyer inside of me is saying, "Are you crazy?" That's right. But there's a passion in me. My passion doesn't agree with my brain. So there's a war, and that battle's within me. But my passion supersedes my own will. Why? Because passion will take you where your will won't. Let's move on right quickly. Verse 18, it says, "Has no one returned to give praise to God except this one foreigner?" You can see as we pray for people, and if you're healed or if God answers your prayer or whatever, we're very interested in knowing about it. He doesn't even have to do it here. God can do it anywhere. We're still very interested in knowing about it. You can put on your little card, words of knowledge. You can title it, "Are you interested in hearing about it?" And we'll say yes. And just write down a little thing of what God's done for you. Why is that important? Number one, we want to read it. But number two, we want you to have wellness. We want to give you an opportunity to come back and praise God. So I hope you're catching what the Scripture's saying. What good is it to get healed if you don't hold it? Did you know you can be well and not healed? I'm not going to preach that one today. The reason is it just then come to me. I don't know what I'd say. Why did he return? Good question. Why did he return? Now watch this. Worship brings healing to the body and makes it well. He came back worshiping and praising God. When we come in here and worship, I hope you can get this, somebody. When we come in here and we do three worship songs, please don't think you're just doing three worship songs. You're in here praising God, and that brings wellness to your life and body.
Come on, come on.
It's good.
Yeah. Oh, I about drunk too deep here. Excuse me. Did you get it?
Yes.
We want you to worship and praise God with all your heart. Because we know something. It's pouring wellness into your life. You say, "Alan, I don't understand it. I don't either." You say, "Alan, how did we get here? I don't know. Must be God." If you'll come in and worship God and praise Him, why? You go back into your memory for what He's done for you this past week. Usually we come in with all the bad stuff instead of coming in with all the stuff to praise Him for, which equals spiritual and physical wellness. So the church leaves as sick as it came in. We're supposed to come so we leave well. Say, "Alan, I got it." Worship brings healing to the body and makes it well. As the worship team goes over these songs, and on Thursday night, and Karen's trying to follow the Lord and what songs to bring us. And then the Wednesday night, we pray for her that God will speak to her so that she'll have the worship songs that we can sing. So as we're worshiping God, it'll make us well. It's not a bunch of songs, put in a hat and pull out one. That is not what's happening here. It's because we understand this revelation and truth of Christ. Now, worship, now I'm going to, there again, this one is a little hairy. Say, Alan, I'm going with you. Okay. Worship is an extraordinary weapon in war. Extraordinary. For you to worship God and be well, something that's not well needs to leave. Right? I don't want to be well and keep all my unwell stuff too. I want my unwells. You see, listen to me. There's not enough lifetime to fix everything that's wrong with us. Has anybody figured that out? There's not enough doctors. There's not enough Bible studies. There's just not enough time to get it all in. It just isn't. So God knows that. He's not caught off guard. So He created this thing for worship so we could be made well. And that's when God invades your spirit through worship. And He'll do that stuff that you can say, I don't know how I got here. Must be God. Two things are the kingdom of heaven had wireless before AT&T. Two ways, prayer and worship. It's wireless communication. But it's communication just the same. Yeah, I know it's kind of prehistoric, but you know they've come up with a thing now, you can just lay your phone on something and somehow the battery gets charged just because you laid it on it. Don't even have to plug it up. I say it's prehistoric because heaven's been doing that a long time. We've been getting energized from heaven just because we'll hang out with people in the congregation, because we'll hang out with God in His Spirit. Just because we hang out with God, we get charged.
Right.
If your battery's running down, you might need a charge. Something happened here. Worship is wireless connection with heaven. It's real. Real power. It's real. So in worship, in prayer, we're communicating. In worship, it's a form of spirit that God downloads more than you upload. See, we get this idea of God's this arrogant God that He needs us to sit down and do this all the time. That's coming out of the understanding of the worship of man. God, the worship of God's not like worship of man. You just switch people. That's not what's going on. Worshiping God's for us. That's right. You see, you got to turn your face toward Jesus before you can get the download. That's all. You heard the song, turn your face, turn it to Jesus. Why? You get your download. There's stuff going on that you don't understand. Listen, Christianity is more than just remembering a lot of stuff, reciting, memorizing stuff. It's a supernatural download here from God. You can be made well just for praising and worshiping God. This church is to be a place of healing, right, Pastor?
Exactly right.
It's not just the prayer pods for healing.
That's right.
You can get as much healing in our worship as you can in a prayer pod.
Come on. Come on.
That's if you understand what you're worshiping for. I've just introduced you a truth and understanding so you can know what's happening here. Worship is an extraordinary weapon in war. Now, I want you to see something. Worship is not, if you're doing worship for warfare, it is not manipulation and flattery. You know, in other words, I'm going to worship God so I can manipulate Him on my behalf. Or God does not need flattery.
Right.
That is not what's going on here. There again, it's not We got our concept of man, not of God. Worshiping God just turns our face towards Jesus so we can get plugged in to get the download of stuff that you don't understand, but you need anyway because you don't have enough lifetime to get it all any other way. Couldn't say it again if I had to, but I hope you got it. Worship is about the worth of God. Trust me, the phone knows the worth of the charger. The charger will outlast the phone. Right? Because it's the power source. The phone's a receiver. Worship is a weapon in warfare, for it magnifies the presence of God in any given situation. If I have a magnifying glass and I put it on a cockroach, all of a sudden that thing's bigger than it appears. Anytime you magnify something, it gets bigger in the moment. Are you with me? So when I magnify God, it makes His presence bigger in the moment. Are you with me?
Yes.
Praising and worship, magnifying God. The one leper was obsessed in praising Jesus in his war of the body. He shouted with a loud voice. Can you imagine leprosy unto death? Smelly, ostracized, rejected. Do you not think it's okay for him to be obsessed with touching and finding Jesus? So how loud was that loud voice? That was a loud voice. Our English word is loud, but it's not loud enough for his loud. He was obsessed. Jesus heard him real good. He was so loud, Jesus didn't even give it a second thought. He said it with a loud voice. The next word Jesus said, go.
Right.
That's just it. Just go. The loudness of his request moved the heart of Christ.
Jesus. That's good.
Jesus knew that he was obsessed with touching the Savior. Passion that's fueled by obsession equals praising and worshiping. Right?
Yes.
I'll never calm you down. What happened to several in here in times past? Passion fueled by obsession equals praising and worshiping. Let's think about it. Passion fueled by obsession. I know to most people the word obsession, it sounds like a bad word. It's not a bad word. It's an identifying word. Trust me, if you had leprosy and you were going to die with it stuff and you was just going to rot away and die, you would be obsessed with getting healed too. But you got to capture and catch what this one leper was doing. What was going on in this guy for him to remain well? Whatever you want in life, you must have a healthy passion to reach your goal.
Yep.
The one leper had a healthy passion to reach it. You can have your particular job. Listen, wake up, everybody. Your passion dictates where you're going. Your passion dictates your success. The radical passion, obsession that the one leper had, if he'd waited on the other nine to holler, it never happened. He moved. A healthy passion pushes you beyond where you are comfortable. Now, come on, somebody. You don't want to be comfortable. I can't push into this healthy passion. Alan, obsession with passion? Yeah, it's uncomfortable, isn't it? You've got to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. If you want to move, does anybody feel like you're stuck in life? You've got to become uncomfortable. A healthy passion turns into an obsession when it grows from once a week to every day.
That's right.
Jesus. There we go. Well, Alan, the only time I think about God's on Sunday, but at least I'm doing it once a week. Well, you are, but you don't have a passion. You sure don't have an obsession to keep you well. Uh-oh. Just test yourself. I'm trying to help save your life. Test what I say. A healthy passion turns into an obsession when it grows from once a week to every day. What you know that you have a passion and you're obsessed with it when you think about it every day. Well, to be honest with you, you'll think about it about every hour. Well, if I want to get a little more truthful, about every 15 minutes. Well, just about every other thought. Don't you think? If you're obsessed with a passion, it just doesn't leave you. It's just a part of who you are. It never left this one leper. He had nothing else more important than to get a hold of Jesus. You know, when your maybes turn into I have to. Come on. Did you get it?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I might need to do a little more. Well, you ain't got it. When you think, I have to do this. I have to get to church and worship. I have to. Well, I might. If you're in the maybe stage, you ain't got it. You don't have the passion. You for sure don't have an obsessive passion. You're saying, Alan, you're being judgmental. Take it up for God. With God's all I know, I was up at 3:30. I paid for this message. Excuses stop you from returning. The other nine, I guarantee I hear the conversation now. They had all these excuses. Well, I'm healed. I'm just healed. Well, if nine of them got healed and went on their way, were they very thankful and grateful? Did they get it? There's more to getting healed than getting healed. For in wellness is passion. In wellness is obsession of passion. How do you know you're well? Because of your passion to run back and talk to Jesus. The other nine had all kinds of excuses. You get upset about everything in life except returning and praising God for what He has done for you. In other words, everything else, well, you're not going to believe what happened today. Well, this person did this to me today, but this person did that. Well, you're not going to believe that. We're upset about everything. We're just upset. Our passion is telling everybody how wrongly we've been treated, how upset we are, and how bad life is. That's our passion. I'm sure the other nine went down to the local coffee store and said, well, you don't believe how bad I had leprosy. I had it pretty bad. What happened? I got healed. This guy down the road did it. But you won't believe what I've been through. Right? No passion for praising God. Just passion for being upset. Check yourself. Check your personal inventory here. See where your passion lies.
Jesus.
Because you are going to be well where your passion lies.
This is good. This is
If you're complaining and upset all the time, guess what? I'll check on you in 30 days. You're going to be like a soap opera. Same story, same upset, maybe different names and faces. Because your passion is keeping that part in your life well. You see, we have what we think's well. If you're a demon out of hell and you're causing chaos in somebody's life, it's well to them that you stay in chaos. I want the wellness that goes with God. Did I take you just a shade? We took one more step deeper right there. All right. We get upset for what we do not have instead of praising God for what we do have.
Wow. Jesus, preach that.
Isn't that right?
Preach that.
You see, in the name of Jesus. The attitude, the other nine was telling them, well, I didn't have this, didn't have that. Oh, I missed 5 years of my life here. And I done. No, the one had a obsession and a passion to run back and praise God. And Jesus said, since you did that, you're going to get a little bonus here. Go and be well. Is anybody getting that?
Come on.
You're going to find out you'd rather be well than healed. Let's move on a little further. Is everybody with me?
Yeah. Come on, this is good.
God the great I am. Now here's what happens. I want you to see this. And God the great I am. I must have done a little more than I thought I'd done this morning. I'm not about halfway there. Did the Lord add that? God the great I am. Now this is in Exodus 3:14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. For years I thought that was the craziest verse in the Bible. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. So Moses said, God, who did I say sent me? He said, God said, you just tell that crowd down there, I am that I am. Now watch this one. God wanted to assure Moses and Israel that he would become what they would need him to become. In other words, God said, I am that I am. As we get a little further, you'll see what God's saying to Moses. Listen, Israel, Mo, whatever you need, I am. You got to get it in spirit. I can't say no more. Does anybody get it?
Yes.
He said, whatever you need, I am. For some reason I won't cry all the time. I'm trying to keep from crying. What is that? Is it lack of sleep or what is going on here? And use, is it passion? Boy, I need to change subjects, don't I? I'm going to mess around boo-hoo all over you. In using the words, I am that I am, God used an expression to reveal to Moses a promise and pledge found in his name. So God was sharing with Moses a promise in a pledge, it was in his name. He said, I am that I am. In other words, I will be all you could ever need. Whatever you need, God says, he's like a transformer. He's going to transform, and I am that.
Jesus.
Come on.
Yes, he is
all. I am that that I am. Throughout the Old Testament, God is known by his four-letter name, Yahweh. Pronounced Yahweh. That's how he's known. Jehovah's used some. The meaning of the Hebrew name Yahweh, God's name, now look at this, is the meaning, is the self-existent, he who becometh, or the becoming one. So when God says, I am that I am, he's saying, I will become, I am the becoming one. So I will be whatever you need. That's what he's saying. You don't have to run to... God says there's not a need that you have that He can't become the answer to it. I'm telling you real stuff. I will become whatsoever I may become. God's telling Moses, I'll become, Moses, whatever you need, I'm going to be it. Yahweh. It means He who becometh. I told you, I've taught you before that Zachar means the remembering ones. Yahweh means He who becomes. So God is His transformer. In any given situation, He will transform into whatever you need. I'm like, oh, you're kidding. Is anybody getting that? He's going to be whatever I need no matter what the situation. Because God's going to become what I need. There's not a problem. That's the reason we say there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you've done that God's not the answer. Why? It's because He's Yahweh, the becoming one. That's why. I am that I am was God's way of assuring Moses and Israel that He would become whatever they needed Him to become. When the one leper returned praising Jesus, he was praising Him because He had become to him what he needed. Did you get it? Right? That leper didn't need Jesus to part the Red Sea. You see, he became what the leper needed. Is there healing in Jesus? Yeah, and everything else too. There's nothing you can't think up but what He won't become to deliver you. Can you feel the power on that truth? Yes. There's over 200 names for God.
Yes.
Well, there's probably more than that. On the table going outside of the vestibule, when you leave this church today, I've got some papers right there. And I thought, well, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll print that. I got a copier. I can push a button. It'll make them. Over 200 names of God. If anybody's interested in it, you can pick one up when you leave the church house. 200 names of God. Advocate, Almighty, All in All, Alpha, Amen, Ancient of Days, Anointed One, Apostle, Arm of the Lord, Author of Eternal Salvation, Author of Our Faith, Author of Peace, Avenger. All of those is under the names of God. That's who He is. In other words, God will become. He's the becoming one. I don't know why that just swept me off my feet.
That's just awesome.
I thought it was just awesome. I thought God had to line up with what His name was. Well, He'll change His blame name if He needs to.
Come on.
He'll add another one.
Come on.
It ain't about that. It's about His name of the becoming one. You should leave from here today feel like you got a good spiritual blanket just wrapped right around you. 200 names of God. Y'all can pick them up on your way out. You will become who you think you need to become. You got to remember this little deal. We are to be the remembering ones. We're a Zachar, past teaching. We are a Zachar, the Bible says. We're created in the image of God. He created man. He created it male and female in the image of God. In the image of God, the word man there is Zachar, Z-A-K-A-R, which means the remembering ones. So, we have been created as the remembering ones. But remember, we have been created in the image of God. Everybody get that? God says He will become whoever He needs Him to be. But you're created in His image. So you can change too. You have been created in the image of God, which is the becoming one. The becoming one. We are. Did you know you're becoming? Or who others think you need to become? Uh-oh, here we get in a bad spot. Anybody come under that one? You are made in the image of God. We are becoming, is what we're doing. We're becoming unto the image of Christ. We have the ability to become because we've been created in the image of God. To become into the likeness of Christ. Now, we're not God. But we have the ability to become into becoming. Or if we have the ability to become, we need to take something into consideration. We might need to think about what we're becoming. Right? Have you lived your life and somebody else says, well, this is who you need to be, and you need to be this, and you need to be that. And in other words, people try to make you become who they want you to become. So you don't have time to seek God on who you're supposed to become. Let me free everybody up, husbands and wives alike. Turn your spouse loose to God. You can trust Him with them. Let them find who they're to become. Unto God. An expectation. If your expectation upon your spouse is to who you think they're to become, you are being very, very selfish.
That's right.
You need to be worrying about who you're to become.
Amen.
And your becoming might help her become. Uh-oh. You missed a wonderful place to say amen.
Amen.
Let me move on from that. I think I'm not crying no more. The two most powerful words that's ever been spoken are this, I am. When God said that, I am that I am. Two most powerful words. The becoming one. Watch what you speak after I am.
Come on. Wow. Come on,
I can feel that one.
Wow.
I think I'll mess around and cry again. I'm glad I got off that husband-wife thing. I am. Watch what you say after I am. Watch what you believe after I am.
Come on.
Example, I am stupid. Oh, watch what you say. You're the becoming one.
Come on.
Well, I am fat. Well, I am skinny. Well, I am poor. Watch what you speak after I am. Two most powerful words. I am are spiritual words. Biggest one in all the Scriptures. I am. You have been created. The devil's going to get you at I am. I bet we talk about our I am failures more about I am a child of God. I am. Two most powerful words in the spiritual world. I am. For I am is the preceding word of your definition of who you are becoming. I'm glad I wrote that one down.
Wow.
I am is the preceding word of your definition of who you are becoming.
Wow.
If you speak, you can achieve great things. Then you will believe you can achieve great things. And then you will see great things. I am. If you speak great things, I am great things. I am a child of God. I'm a great thing. World.
Wow.
Well, if I speak, listen, I am becoming. I am becoming a great thing. I am becoming more like Christ. I am going to be successful and not fail. If you go around saying I am always failing, guess what you're going to do? You're going to, I'm the soap opera. I'm going to go back and check you in 5 years. You're still going to be failing. Because you are using spiritual words of I am.
Come on.
The person that understands I am can be an overcomer over all things. The book says, I am an overcomer. Doesn't the book say that? Did I read it wrong?
No.
I am an overcomer. That's what I am. Every time you hear you say, I am, I hope you think of Exodus. And God said, I am that I am. Why did God say, I am that I am? Because He is. Anybody tell me what this picture is out of a movie? Boy, that didn't take long. The Help. Absolutely. Now, I can't talk about it much or I will cry. The Help. Now, in this particular shot here, Viola Davis was saying something here to that little girl. What was her name? Well, it's one she was looking after. Abilene Clark, or Viola Davis is her name. She was saying this to Mae Mobley. You was kind, you was smart, you was important. I heard that in that movie, and it hits in my brain about every other day, and I watched it, I bet you, 3 or 4 years ago. You was kind, you was smart, you was important. Why was she speaking that to that child? She was speaking into that child, the I am. She was wanting her to say, I am kind. I am smart. I am important. Incredible movie. I am strong. I can achieve. I am an achiever. I am determined. I am disciplined. I am focused. I am capable of anything. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, lest you think I'm getting extra biblical here.
Yes.
It's not what I want to be, but what I am. Now there's a difference. I am a miracle. I don't want to be a miracle. I am a miracle.
Yes.
Because I know and embrace I am a miracle, miracles keep happening in my life, which interpreted means I am well. Anybody get that one? I am a miracle. I'm ongoing miracles. The ongoing miracles, because of who I am, is wellness to me. I am connected. If you come into this church and nobody speaks to you, when you leave from here, you say, I am connected to that church. Come for a month, nobody spoke to you, say, I am connected. I hope you don't have to say it over 2 months. You say, I am connected until you get connected. Because there's a good chance you have said, I am not accepted. I am not connected in any church I go in. I'm not da 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 da. And we got to break through that I am not to get you into where I am. Your I am not is a spiritual leprosy. Puts off an odor. Y'all can fill in the rest of all that. I am a powerful Christian. If you're sitting there thinking you're not, you I am it. Just I am it right on up in there. I am a powerful Christian. I am a fighter. I am a winner. I am the head, not the tail, according to my favorite engineer everywhere he went. Where's he at? There he is. Yeah, I'll kind of do your little hand down there. Brian, he always says, I am the head, not the tail. I mean, God's once said it. He's the I am, so I am. When you say I am, it's the highest form agreeing with what God said. You can have faith for it or you can I am it. Faith is the substance of hope for. I'm moving you further in the spirit to I'm amming it. I am. I am. I am the head, not the tail. God said that. I'm just agreeing with it and saying I am. What you believe, speak, feel, you will become. What you believe, speak, feel. Has anybody had a bad day? Has anybody ever had depression to where it just shuts you down? Has anybody had depression that you want to get away from everybody? Has anybody had so much depression that if you thought if you heard another human speak, you'd throw up? You don't learn that in Bible college. What is that? What's happening? You are worshiping I am not. There's power there. What you believe, speak, and feel, you will become. But it starts with believing and speaking. I am tired. How many people say? I am stuck. I am always behind. Anybody ever said them? I am this, I am this. You got to understand, I am are the two strongest spiritual words on the planet. It's God's ultimate high thing of speaking power. I am that I am. When you say I am those things, guess what? You is. I'm always behind. Is what you are praising and worshiping. One leper had a dream. Why did you let your dream go? I can't believe I did all this. Did you allow other... I mean, God was just speaking, trust me, or something was. Did you allow others around you to tell you your dream was not realistic? I mean, the Lord just made... I just had to go there. Has others spoken to you that it's not realistic? Did others put their own limits on you? Opinion of others can poison a dream. There are very smart people that do not make it because they give up. It takes more courage than smarts. Now I'm going to move on. 9 lepers were healed, but they were not all well. Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith or your becoming has made you well. It is a miracle to be healed, but faith or becoming will make you well. It'll make you well in good health, free, and recovered from illness. It'll make you healthy, fine, fit. This is what it means. To be well means in good health, free or recovered from illness. You see, the leper was healed. But he was well. That means to be free from illness. He was well. It means healthy, fine, fit, robust, strong, vigorous, blooming, thriving. If anybody want in with any of that? That's what well means. So there's a difference in being healed and well. How do we get well? We worship and praise God. It's not too late to be made well. You are becoming. Are you staying the same? Or are you becoming? Will you stay in misery? Or will you rise and become? Are you being the best person of yourself? Can somebody hear that? Don't give out on me yet. I'm just about home. Are you being the best person of yourself? I know that's not good English, but there's only way I know to say it. Or are you stuck in a past version? Has no one returned? That's the question. Has no one returned? One leper returned and praised God. When he left, not only was he healed, He was well. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for today, O God. And I ask and pray, O God, if anything that I've said is of you, I pray it'll stick in our hearts and our spirits. If anything that I've said is not of you, I pray it just fall to the ground and that people would overlook it. But Lord Jesus, it's my prayer that our lives will change. I pray, O God, that when we say I am, that we mean it with all passion. With all passion. I pray, O God, that I pray, O God, that as we are here, that we could plug in, O God, to a wireless connection with the kingdom of God, that we might be empowered in Jesus' name. There's one other thing. I got two papers back there. One of them's, the other one's titled, The Two Most Powerful Words Ever Spoken. I am. It's got such references as, I am a child of God. I am a branch of the true vine. I am a friend of Jesus. I have been justified and redeemed. My old self was crucified with Christ. I am no longer a slave to sin. See, those I ams are in there for a powerful reason, a spiritual reason. I will not be condemned by God. As a child of God, I am a fellow heir with Christ. Whole paper on what I am is it's not exhausted. But if you want to pick up an I am on the way out, you can do that. The 200 names of God on the way out, you can get that. I am that I am. What I'm presenting to you is I'm asking this church to be who God's created us to be. I'm afraid our biggest enemy is our own selves. I'm afraid our fallen nature of wanting to feel sorry for ourselves. I'm afraid our fallen nature, it's easier to go downhill than it is up. It's easier to try to get other people to pat us on the back because we're too lazy to pick ourselves up. That's right. Say amen. I'm afraid that fallen nature keeps us from saying, I am successful. I am loving. I am all of these things. Consider what I say. Now, you've got those words of knowledge paper. You can put your prayer request on or whatever. Karen's going to lead us in a song here. You can go ahead and make your way to the prayer pods or whatever. We're now entering the house of prayer. After we take up these words of knowledge and prayer request, we'll be singing this song. I will release us after this song. But it's a time, this is invitation time. It's time to move. If you want to say anything to me, just come up here. It's fine. But you can move for prayer. You move for prayer. I am. Just think about I am. Came here with nothing. All you've given me. Jesus, make new wine out of me.